Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 305, actually now 306 on DGS. Rachel, Andrew, Wheeler hanging out with you. Dave is shooting a story. Mike Bush is doing a story about nobody dies alone, which obviously Dave does, and pushes the cause and all that. So it's a very cool story, and looking forward to seeing, you know, when it's going to air, and we'll all obviously watch, and we'll let you know where you can pick it up when that time comes. But Dave will just be back in the normal spot tomorrow. I know he's not happy to be not here today. We got Chef Cliff from Capital Grill hanging out with us. Cliff, good to see you.
Good to see you.
We talked off the air, but I can bring it up on the air. You and I are both Lions fans, brothers from another mother. Are you nervous? Because you're going to be working.
I'm going to be working, but I'm making sure I'm definitely going to get out early for that game.
Because it's 8 o'clock game.
No way I'm missing that.
So you're going to get out before 8 o'clock.
Oh, for sure.
My guy.
For sure.
Oh, boy. So Are you going to be enjoying the game Capital Grill style? Like, are you going to be bringing some stuff home with you for the game, or will you have already been taken care of by then?
I'll probably bring a couple snacks home.
Yeah, what's a snack for you when you're going to go watch a football game from Capital? Like, are you going to just whip something up, or are you going to go off the menu?
Oh, no, I'll go off menu. You know, I'll grab the lollipop lamb for sure, prosciutto mozzarella, crab cakes.
Yeah.
You know,
we don't
mess around. We don't mess around.
Crab cakes. That's my favorite thing in the world. It's actually my favorite thing to make, too. Yeah, I was going to say, when you have buddies over for a game, people are like, Chef Cliff's house.
Yeah, let's go to Cliff's house for sure.
Yeah. Do you need me to bring some water or anything? Hopefully they BYOB and then you can handle the food.
I supply the food.
But they should bring your beer, too.
That is true. Actually, you're right about that.
Is that how that works?
I should probably throw that in there. I don't do that, but I might need to
pick
that up.
Just put a little clause in there for you guys. Like, hey, I got the food. You guys better bring me some beer.
Right. That's a good idea. I like where your head's at.
Yeah, see, I think these things out, especially when it comes to, like, you know, we all have our specialties.
Right.
And you're the food guy. And you do it better than everybody else. So why should anybody else bring food?
That's true.
Does any of your friends ever get weird about that? They're like, I don't know, should I bring food to the chef's house?
You know, a couple people, like when I first start hanging out with somebody and go over, they're very nervous and like, oh, I got to. I'm like, I'm a very simple guy.
I'm not food too, right?
I like regular food. I'm not, you know, just because I'm a chef doesn't mean I expect, you know, a Michelin star every time I go to somebody's house for dinner, you know? I like home cooked meals. I'm not judging.
So you're cool with some like mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not tough.
Yeah.
You know, stuff on the
ramen
grill,
noodles.
Nice and easy. I'm good.
All right. That's good. That's good to know. I knew you were kind of a regular guy, but you know, you get used to a standard. You get used to something. I don't want to say get sick of it, but like, do you ever get to the point where, all right, I see that all the time. I want to try something different. Like, is that, I just need a pizza tonight.
Not really. No. I mean, to be honest, I mean, my kids
I could get tired of crab cakes.
Kids are pretty spoiled. Like, my daughter loves lollipop lamb chop.
All right.
I mean, she'll tell you she loves king crab legs and, you know, so.
What kid doesn't?
She's 9, and I got a 5-year-old son, and they're both the same way, and so they're pretty spoiled in that regard, so.
That's very cool. I know we're talking about the Lions game this weekend, taking on the Commanders, because we're both Lions fans, but. Are you doing that for the Super Bowl too?
Oh yeah.
Do you guys do Super Bowl stuff? Like, is that something people could be like?
We are open for Super Bowl, so I mean, we do have private dining rooms and stuff.
Okay, but like, if somebody said I want to put in like a really big order,
yeah,
of
we do
cool things like
big catering orders. We do, you know, you can do Butcher Box, so it's like you could order raw steaks and bring them home and cook Capital Grill steaks for yourself. Comes with like seasoning and steak sauce, even has like a direction as far as like how long to cook.
That's cool.
Know, a rare, mid-rare, whatever. So like that's
because you guys
cool.
get a quality that I'm not going to get at the store.
Exactly. So it's like you can get a nice fresh cut, you know, ribeye, 10-ounce filet, whatever it is.
Putting some ideas in my head,
and
man.
Yeah, so, you know, if it warms up a little bit and you want to go grilling, you know, for
I'll
Super
grill
Bowl,
in the cold. I don't care.
You're good to go.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. What else is going on at Capital, man? What do you guys have?
Well, we got Restaurant Week coming up. We haven't done Restaurant Week since 2019. So
it's pre-COVID. Wow, so it's back.
It's been a while since we've participated.
Well, lay it out for everybody.
So what we're doing, it's $79, and it's a three-course meal. You got options of salad, soup, and then we have lots of different entrees available. Comes with sides, comes with dessert, and then you actually have upgrade options too. So, like for $10 more, you can get a lobster tail added on. For $10, $15 more, there's a couple different, you know, elevations as far as the steak is concerned. So, you know, there's really a lot of options to pick from. So it's a phenomenal deal. You know, it's probably, if you came in and ordered the same meal normally, it'd probably be, you know, $130,
$140.
All right. So, I mean, for...
That's a pretty big difference.
About a $60 discount.
Yeah.
You know, you're able to come in and be able to enjoy it. So it's a nice week, you know, to be able to let some people that maybe can't afford it all the time to be able to come in and see what we're all about and, you know, enjoy Capital Grill.
And be taken care of, too.
Yeah.
Like, exactly.
You guys have amazing food. I mean, every time, everything you bring in for us, every time we've gone out there, the food is amazing. But your people are even better.
I appreciate it.
You know, you're special when you're there.
Yeah.
You're being taken care of. Like, these are the grown, real-ass people that are taking care of you, right? Your server is somebody that has been doing this for a long time, that knows the business, that's going to make sure your experience is right. I think that's a big separator. Like, out and being, like, you're special tonight.
I'd say that's what separates us, honestly, is our service. You know, like you said, our food is amazing,
which I
appreciate.
Top level,
but,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good food everywhere. And so it's, like you said, it's how you make people feel. And we're a relationship brand. And we like to make people feel like kings and queens when they come into the restaurant, because you should feel like the most important person in the restaurant at that time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that, like you said, is really what separates us. And, you know, again, it's professional guys that have been doing it for 20 plus years. And, you know, they are professional servers.
Yeah.
And they
I mean,
really
I told you before, I was a server back in the day, like in college, just after college. I couldn't have worked for you guys.
So. I mean, if you want, I'll give you another shot. You know, if you want to come and give it a try.
Yeah, I was nowhere near the level of professionalism and attention to detail and all that.
Maybe when you guys come in for like burger night for Dave or something, you can throw on uniform and you do a little service for charity.
Donate tips to charity. Yeah. That way they'll feel guilty enough to give me a good tip.
Exactly.
Because then it'll be for charity and not just for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it'll give you a little opportunity to, you know, get back in there.
That's underrated. Like, the server job can be pretty high pressure,
for sure.
I mean, there's a lot of expectations. It can get really busy. But it never feels that way when I've been at Capital. It always feels like everything's under control. And again, I'm looking at it from somebody that lived the chaos, and you're like, I just got quadruple sat, and every table's filled. There's a half hour wait in the lobby. I've never had that vibe, never had that feel, even when you guys are crowded.
Yeah, cool, calm, and collected. That's, you know, everybody makes fun of me sometimes because, you know, my cooks will be like, chef, the building could be burning around you and you're still on expo. Just like, come on, guys, we're all good. Let's keep going. And
how's the kitchen get when it's like that? Is it still the same kind of like, because
it
my experience is out front and we would only go into the kitchen to go get stuff or to like roll silverware into the napkins. Like, I mean, we weren't back there very much.
Like I said, it's control chaos.
Yeah.
You know, you're driving the bus and, you know, that's the beauty of what I love to do is, you know, controlling that chaos. And again, being that guy that's running the kitchen and everybody's watching me and, you know, we got tickets running down to the floor, but nothing's changed in my mood or my attitude. And it's
no Gordon Ramsay.
Nope. Let's just keep pushing and we're going to get through it and it's going to be fun.
If I do that, if I end up doing that, would you put,
if you want me to scream and yell,
would you call
a little bit,
me
I can
and make,
for
make
you.
Me an idiot sandwich and
I
put the bread
in? I can make you an idiot sandwich. we'll do the whole nine for sure. I mean, we got to play the part.
Now, you're very chill, obviously. The way you come across on the radio is how I picture you in the kitchen. Is it about the same?
I would say it's about the same. Yeah.
Did you ever have the other guy around when you were coming up, when you were learning from somebody, or when you weren't the guy that was in charge? You have to name names, but do you is that a normal thing, or is that just that's just Ramsay?
You know, to be honest,
that's just a TV thing.
I think the times have changed. You know, when I first started back in like the early 2000s, it was still kind of the old school mentality, and you had old school you know, chefs that were throwing plates at you, and you know, you're getting screamed and yelled at, and you know, it was, you started from the bottom and you worked your way up, and you know, I didn't go to culinary school,
so that's not just TV.
So no,
that's
a
thing.
That's definitely a thing.
All right.
But
because where I worked in restaurants, we didn't have a chef.
Yeah,
you know, we just had a series of line cooks and managers and us. You know, it's you know how it is. It's normal chain restaurant stuff. It's not what you guys are
for sure. And that's where I think again the times have kind of changed, and you know you. Especially corporate restaurants and things like that, it's, you just can't treat people that way.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you learn that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, the times have changed. COVID changed a lot of things. And, you know, not a lot of people really want to get into the restaurant business. And so it's like you can't treat people that way and expect people to want to work
hard
for you.
And you want to keep them, right?
So, you know, it's more about the leadership aspect. And, you know, I started from the bottom. Like, again, I didn't go to culinary school. I just started as a dishwasher and worked my way up. And
it's awesome.
Never forgetting where you came from, and I have no fear, you know, getting in there dirty, jump in and wash dishes, jump on the line with the guys, and, you know, I'm in the trenches with you. You know, we're going to war together. So
that's great. All right, so when is Restaurant Week starting
restaurant
and ending?
Restaurant Week starts next week, Monday the 20th, and then it goes all the way to Sunday.
All right, so Monday, next Monday until the following Sunday.
Yes, sir.
And it's all hours, like you come in, lunch, dinner, whatever?
Lunch, it's not running lunch.
Okay, only at dinner time.
Only at dinner time.
All right, I just want to make sure we're clear. We don't want anybody showing up doing the wrong thing. And then real quick, explain the deal for us.
So $79, you got a three-course meal, you get choice of soup, salad, you get a choice of about five different entrees. There's multiple different upgrades you can, you know, add a lobster tail for a couple bucks, upgrade to a bigger steak, those kinds of things. A couple sides come with it, and you get two desserts.
Phenomenal stuff. Looking forward to hearing more about it. We'll definitely talk soon. Go Lions.
Yeah, buddy, go Lions.
Chef Cliff with us from Capital Grill. All right, it's DGS on KMOX. Rachel, Andrew, and yours truly. I was going to say my name again, but I think you can probably figure that out. I don't sound like Dave.
It's Wheels.
Yeah, Dave will be back tomorrow, doing a great thing, getting some attention for Nobody Dies Alone and doing a story with Mike Bush that'll air on Channel 5. And once we know the details on that, we'll let you know. Couple things. Obviously, Dave Murray's going to join us in a few minutes, so we'll get a look at maybe a little bit of a thaw coming in these next few days, because God forbid anybody in the city finish the job of plowing lanes. Like,
oh,
I'm driving down Tucker last night, and it's, you know, Tucker is two lanes both ways with some left turn lanes mixed in there. And you're like, two lanes. Oh, no, it's not two lanes anymore. And everybody just kind of crams together because one lane just stops because it's covered in snow. Like, we just decided we weren't going to do that, I guess, huh?
Guess so.
Like, we finished. We're done. we're not going back out. It doesn't matter that it's a week later. And by the way, I don't want to hear this, well, it's frozen. Yeah, it wasn't frozen this weekend when it was 40 degrees out.
Yeah.
You could have easily sent trucks out for 5 minutes.
Oh,
finish the job, man. I mean, come on.
We were out walking earlier today, and Andrew and I are both wearing sneakers today, which I should have worn my boots because, the frozen snow is like, I almost ate, you know what, a couple of times.
It's ice,
it was bad.
Yeah.
It's just a big block of ice, and you have no choice but to walk on it. And it's very treacherous.
Yeah, that's typically because my backyard's like an ice rink right now.
Yeah,
because it thawed for 2 days and then it's frozen for the last 2 days. It's so the snow is still deep back there. Like, it melted, but it only melted about half of it, so it's still probably 4 or 5 inches deep. But the top is essentially frozen hard, so my dogs can just walk on top of the snow.
Oh, nice!
And they don't even leave footprints. Like, it just zipping across. But it's one of those deals where, is it that hard to finish the job? Like, a week later, you know, like, I get it, you know, but we still have full lanes of traffic that are all down here that are just blocked by piles of snow, not just frozen, like, low level. There's an inch of frozen crap on the ground. We're talking like a foot and a half high just outside our building.
Yeah.
Not to mention on Tucker. It's okay to finish the job.
I know. I really don't understand. I really, really don't. And like you said, it's not just Tucker. It's I come down Jefferson every day, and it's the same thing where, like, the lane looks fine, and then all of a sudden it isn't, and then it becomes a dangerous situation with people trying to get over into the correct lane, trying not to slow down too much.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Well, you got a combination of things. So, like, last night for me going down Tucker towards to get onto 70 going west, after I'm leaving work, there's a part where it just all of a sudden is no longer two lanes anymore. And it's not like it's a traffic jam, but there are cars there. It's 5 o'clock in the evening. It's downtown. It's not like it would have been 20 years ago, but there are people driving up and down there. And so you got cars to each. You got a car to your side, depending on which lane you're in. So if you're in the left lane, you're going to be okay. Your lane's not going to end. But if you're in the right lane, your lane is going to end, and you're not going to know that it's going to happen because you don't expect it. You would think a week later it would be fine, especially after the warm weather over the weekend. And on top of that, you got people on your butt behind you. So you have to trust the person behind you to not slam into you if you have to brake really fast to let somebody in or whatever. It shouldn't be hard to do the basics. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about going above and beyond. We're talking about major thoroughfares in downtown St. Louis leading to major highways, right? This is leading to the Museal Bridge. This is leading to the entrance that you have to take. You go around on Broadway to get over to 70. Like these are two, it's a pathway to two major outlets leaving downtown. It shouldn't be difficult to have both lanes serviceable 7-8 days after the snow.
Yeah.
That should not be, I'm not asking a lot. I'm not asking for you to go out there on the day of the storm and have everything clean and perfect by the end of the day. I get it. We don't have the same structure that you would up in Chicago. And that's partly why on the Illinois side, it's always better because you've got the preparation statewide for what happens in the northern part of the state, but it means it's not ignored everywhere else. And obviously in Missouri, we don't have that. I understand it. But how is it 7 or 8 days later and we don't have the ability to go do something about things that could be dangerous?
Yeah, and did you experience heavier traffic going home yesterday than you? Because usually on Mondays, it's not so bad.
It was right at five. It was okay, but it was a little bit.
I experienced way heavier traffic than I ever experienced on Monday. And I was talking about it with someone, and they were like, oh, it's probably because people can't drive through the city because roads are in the city are covered.
Are they still? Like regular city streets are still?
Like I live on like a side. I don't live on like a main street. Right. I live on a side street. It's ice. It's an ice rink.
Okay, so it's like a sheet of yeah. Well, yeah, I wonder. You guys think the mayor's street is still icy and covered? Or do you think they cleared that?
Yeah, I'm gonna guess that it's clear. You know, I don't know anything, but I'm gonna guess that it's clear. I had seen something. You know what? Never mind. I'm gonna get myself in trouble.
Why would you get in trouble? You're not doing anything wrong. I see the same things you see on Twitter. There are people posting pictures of the mayor's street, which is why I said that.
It's not me that said it. It's Twitter that said it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, you know, there. I understand you can't get to every side street. I don't think that's not what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Main roads in downtown should be cleared of snow 7 or 8 days after what we had. Especially when you had 2 days of a warm-up.
Right.
Where it was movable. Because it was movable when it was 40 degrees for back-to-back days. I know. Stop asking for the basics, Wheeler. 3:34 here on DGS. And, of course, 3:30 means Dave Murray time. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. I have a question for you.
I have answers.
Okay, good. Because I just listened to your stuff with snow removal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know the answer, but has the budget been really slashed for that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes. That's the answer.
Well, I understand, but I mean, like, how much does it cost to go finish the job?
I know. But the bigger question is, why was the budget slashed?
Yeah, well, because the way it was put was, and I believe it was a story in the Post-Dispatch, and it might have been a CamelX.com story that I saw, because I sent it to the group. I sent it to Rach, Dave, and Andrew when I saw it over the weekend, and it said that they cut it because we'd had a couple of warm winters, and it hadn't been necessary. So, of course, because you've had a couple of warm winters in the past, we wouldn't
It'll
have
never
any.
Happen
yeah,
again.
We won't have to worry about snow in the future, Dave, right? You're the weather guy.
Yeah, the California, the LA fires, that's what's coming out, is $18 million was cut from the fire department. The reservoirs, there's one that above Pacific Palisades that was empty. There's a lot of others that are only half full because they decided that was climate-wise, that was a dumb thing to do because of the evaporation if you filled them up. And it's like, we've had three really wet winters in a row. You know your days are numbered.
Yeah.
Just know. You just know.
Yeah. So the story about that I saw, by the way, just to give credit where credit is due, is Mark Maxwell from KSDK.
Okay.
So he had the story with the graphics, and they cut $600,000 from snow removal specifically from last year to this year.
As we all know, that's what causes some political failure in town.
Yeah. But again, you know, look, I think and you're probably it's a much more serious situation out in L.A. with all of the problems, and whatever mistakes were made are clearly having a much bigger impact there than they would here. But the idea is you still have to do the basics, man. You have to prepare to do the basics. Take out the trash, clean up the roads, fix the roads like that, you know. That shouldn't be a standard that's a step too far, no matter whether it's L.A. or St. Louis.
I'm a firm believer that if you have an X amount of dollars for snow and ice removal and preparation and all that stuff, and you don't use it all in a particular winter, well, put it in the bank.
Yeah.
And save it. And just push that over there. Don't get rid of it. Don't send it somewhere else. Just it's here if we need it.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, you know, running a city, there are a lot of things pulling at you and a lot of things pulling at your budget. I totally understand. But the most important job is to take care of the basics to make sure that people can, you know, take care of safety, transportation, you know, the things that are regular, garbage, whatever. And then obviously we want to do more than that, but it's hard to do more than that when other things fail.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Great question.
All right. I got that off my chest.
All right. So speaking of all this stuff with the weather, first of all, let's start here. What are we looking at here for the next couple of days, and will we get rid of more of this stuff?
We will get rid of more of it, but first I have another question for you.
Uh-oh.
Think back to the anniversary is tomorrow, 1997. Any idea what happened in St. Louis in 1997?
On January
15th. In January.
Tornadoes.
Nope.
Dang it.
What happened? Is it weather related?
It is. Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm not going to get
it. Coming out of left
corn
field.
Started to grow in a field.
It was my eighth half birthday.
I was not living here at the time, so
okay,
I don't know.
You don't get a chance to.
And then Rach and Andrew were like six.
Yeah.
Seven.
But I bet you would remember this.
Oh, really?
It was the anniversary of a massive ice storm.
Oh.
We had a half to an inch of ice across the area, and basically the roads, and especially the afternoon rush in St. Louis on 1997 on the date tomorrow, was an absolute disaster.
Oh. Well, you know it's bad if everybody remembers it 25, 30 years later, right? I mean, when it's memorable like that, you know it. There's not much worse than that, right? I mean, a lot of snow is bad, but I've always found ice storms and nothing's worse.
Ice is the worst. The absolute worst, because you can't get out of your house, you can't, your driveway's all, I mean, it's, you know, take what we're coming out of right now and multiply it by 1,000.
But also, if I'm not wrong, or I don't think I am, because I remember there was an ice storm here more recent than that while I lived here, but it's also much more damaging to, like, power lines and things, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, yes, what happens, it gathers on the lines, but also it gathers on the trees. Get a little wind, the tree branches break, they fall on the lines, the lines come down, power outages all over the place.
Dang it.
So, all right.
We don't see that coming again anytime soon?
No.
Good.
No, but I do see a lot of bounce in temperature. We're cold tonight. We're going down to 7. Clear skies, nice big bright moon out there. Then on Wednesday, kind of like today, sunny skies, 29 for the high. Interesting on Wednesday night, the low, now the high tomorrow, 29, the low tomorrow night, 28. Because the winds are going to turn to the south, temperatures will start to rise a little bit on us, and it's all about the southerly flow, something we haven't seen really in quite a while consistently. Thursday is sunny, 41 for the high on Thursday. That will feel pretty good. Friday, partly sunny, though the skies will bring some increase in clouds. 48 on Friday. Might be a rain shower late in the day, but most of the rain is going to be Friday night, and it is primarily rain. Could end as a little sloppy, wet snow as we get down to 32. But by that point, the moisture is basically out of the system. Then we start the next cool down. There is a gigantic piece of Arctic air coming down over much of the country, certainly the eastern two-thirds of the nation. Saturday, kind of the transition day, partly sunny, 27, 21 for the high on Sunday. And then Monday for Martin Luther King Day, The high temperature will be 15 degrees.
No.
That may be our best shot of going below zero. I do not see a storm for the weekend. We've talked about this the last couple of days. A lot of hype from all over the place about this massive storm coming for the weekend. That's just not in the cards. Not jumping off of that horse.
Well, I know who loves that. The Cardinals love that because it's the winter warm-up this
That's
weekend.
Right.
So, cold you can deal with, but
bad
weather certainly messes that up. I meant to point this out to you because you mentioned the moon.
Yes.
Dave sent us a text yesterday with a picture that he found the moon.
Yeah. All right. And it was a big, beautiful, bright moon.
It's
too.
A great picture.
It was really good.
Full wolf moon.
Yeah. It was like, 7 o'clock last night?
Yeah.
Phone pings. And look at it. It's a picture. Like, oh, that's a cool picture. And Dave's caption was, I found the moon.
For everybody struggling with problems, Dave's a great example that things can get better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can find that moon if you've lost it.
Yeah. Yeah. Go find your moon, people. On a less funny note, Dave, how about out there, like happening out west?
All the fires are still burning.
Yeah.
I think maybe 15% on one of them it's contained. A lot of that, this is some terrain that you just can't get to.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, you let it burn now. Up in the mountains, you just let it go because there's nothing much you can do about it. Where we are, it's fine.
Good.
It's a little breezy. It's a little breezy today, but this is a good example. We're about 60 miles south of L.A. Our peak wind gust today, maybe 20, 25 miles per hour. It is still the Santa Ana. But up in these fire zones and around L.A., the wind gust could be pushing 70 miles per hour. And so it just keeps coming. You get up into those wind speeds, the aircraft can't fly. It becomes other problems. Haven't heard of any new fires, so that's good news. But Pacific Palisades and Easton, it's a war zone.
Yeah.
It looks like a war zone.
It's the worst. I have friends. Obviously, we all have. I think most people have friends or someone they know living out in Southern California. There's so many people there. And I've been, seeing messages from friends either on social media or via text that, crap, the winds are coming back. Like that just adds a whole new level of anxiety because it's obviously the fuel that pushes things and literally pushes the fire into a direction.
Mm-hmm. It forms in these canyons. The wind comes up over the mountains, drops down into the canyons. It funnels. It's just a funneling effect. Temperatures warm in that compression, and then it just shoots out of the canyons. Mm. And if you get a power line down or you get some weird accident with involves fire, boom, it goes, and you can't stop it. Can't stop it. It's scary.
It's awful.
Scary stuff.
Yeah. There are not many things that are over the top, nothing you can do, like earthquakes, just nothing you can do, right? Wherever you are, you're riding it out, and that's just the deal. There's nothing. Tidal wave, nothing you can do. Just not be on the shoreline, right?
Get up a little higher than.
But
you
for
are.
Any structure that's there, there's nothing you can do. It's going to be what it is. Those are the worst. Those are literally the scariest things because there's nothing that can be done.
Right. In the case of, we have obviously a lot of tornadoes and severe thunderstorms.
Right.
But
right.
Most of the time, you kind of know they're coming. You get some decent warning anyway, and you can protect yourself to some extent. Do people die? Absolutely. Do houses get destroyed? Absolutely. But I feel a little better in a tornado situation than I do with a raging wildfire coming at my house.
Well, the tornado is not going to cover a barrage of tornadoes is not going to cover the amount of space that we're talking about. It's just not even close.
Exactly.
It's much more spotty, man. Well, I hope everything stays okay for you guys and hope it stays okay as it continues to get better. And we'll check in with you again tomorrow, Dave.
All right. You got it.
Thanks so much. Let's do some headlines. We didn't get to them with Dave because we had good Dave topics, man. We had a lot of good stuff there, so let's get to headlines.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Did you guys see that Vice President Kamala Harris has declined to invite J.D. Vance for a courtesy visit to the vice president's residence before the inauguration? This is something that normally happens. They normally visit the Naval Observatory where J.D. Vance and his family will live after the inauguration, but Kamala was like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
I understand because obviously things get testy and people say nasty things. But you're still you hold the second highest office in the country. You still have to do your job.
In general, the media is not really reporting on this. Yeah. And former Ambassador Rick Grenell criticized the mainstream media, calling it a shameful DC cover-up that this isn't, you know, plastered all over the place. Kind of like how, you know, whenever Donald Trump was leaving the White House in 2020, they didn't invite the Bidens. And that was like this huge deal, that it was this huge faux pas and it was such a slap in the face. It's like, well, I mean, how is it really any different if Kamala doesn't invite JD? I didn't know there was any big beef between the two of them. Yeah. They didn't really interact much during the election cycle, but
just
thought that was kind of interesting.
Be a professional. You chose the career. Right. By the way, the same way I felt about the previous year. I mean, Donald Trump should not have skipped the inauguration. He should not have acted like he won. And, you know, that was all low class. It was all wrong. And this is the same idea. It's not as big of a thing because she's not saying he didn't win or anything like that. But, I mean, we need people in those positions.
Be the bigger person.
To uphold just a level of class.
Yeah.
We have gone away from that at all levels of national politics, where it's more about owning people and scoring points with your base, because I'm not going to shake that person's hand. Like, I get it. If you're an average citizen and you don't want to shake someone's hand, good for you. Freedom of speech, all that. But when you're in that position, do it.
Yeah, and if Joe can host Donald Trump at the White House after Donald Trump's win, those two have a contentious relationship, to say the least. I thought Kamala and JD could have made it work, but it's a little disappointing. Yeah. Speaking of the inauguration, what's closed on Inauguration Day? It's also MLK Day. The U.S. Postal Service will not deliver mail. Post offices will be closed, and federal employees will have a paid day off. Banks, stock exchanges, and some schools will also be closed, while most other industries, including stores, restaurant, and entertainment spaces, of course, will remain open. National parks will waive entrance fees in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, one of seven free entrance days offered by the National Park Service this year. So something to keep in mind for this upcoming Monday.
Good times.
Starbucks is introducing a new code of conduct. They're going to require their cafe visitors to be paying clients. In the past, they had this kind of open door policy. Hey, come here and hang out. You don't even really have to buy a coffee. But this new code of conduct is designed to deter non-paying customers from loitering in its cafes.
I don't have. I understand there will probably be some people that are upset about that, but why?
Right.
I mean, it's a business. In a lot of places, they won't even let you come in to use the restroom if you're not, you know, using the business. So why would you be able to hang out in their lobby? I get it, because they feel like if you hang out there, you might be more likely to buy something. But clearly, they find that that's not the case, right?
Right. Oh, one more thing about the inauguration. Did you see this, Wheels? Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg are all going to attend.
Oh, goody. Yeah. You know what we really need to do?
I want to see all those guys interact.
What we really need to do as a nation and as a people is see how much more privilege we can give to the richest people on earth. They don't have, nobody gives them enough attention. They certainly don't have enough power. We need to make sure that, you know, we're doing more for them.
Speaking of Starbucks ending a service, Amazon is ending a service as well. It's ending its try before you buy option for Prime members that allowed Prime members to try on select clothing items at home before purchasing. That service is going to wind down in the coming weeks. The last day to place orders will be January 31st. Amazon says the program's limited reach and the increasing use of AI-powered features for sizing recommendations as reasons for the decision. So I guess AI is going to help you. You don't have to necessarily ship that to your house and try it on. So that's something that'll be ending. Yeah, it's something I've noticed just because I've bought some clothes on Amazon and I am a Prime member. I just never wanted to ship something to my house just to try on.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like, I'll return it if it doesn't work, but the whole process
It's the same process either way.
I'm going to have to go to the UPS store either way. So
yeah.
Let's see here. Let's do one more story. Disney is being sued for allegedly copying the idea for Moana and its sequel. An animator named Buck Woodall has filed a lawsuit against Disney, accusing the entertainment giant of copying his screenplay called Bucky for the creation of Moana and its sequel. He's seeking $10 billion in damages and a court order to prevent further infringement.
You think Moana has generated $10 billion?
Oh, with all the
$10 billion.
I mean, with all the sales of the toys and stuff, I mean, it is crazy popular.
That's like,
I mean, but now that you said it a third time, I'm like, yeah, I think you're right. That
that's like buying
high.
That's like buying the Yankees and the Cowboys.
Okay, good point. You got me on that one, Wheels. Is that the